Hey friends, how you doing? I'm Lee McCormick. Welcome to Tramps Like Us, a Bruce Springsteen podcast, episode 92, Stallone on Springsteen and Cobra. I'm joined by my buddy Greg Troyan from the Lipstick Panel podcast for this episode. Greg brought this topic to my attention and to the show by way of a quote Sylvester Stallone made discussing the influence Bruce Springsteen had on writing the character in the movie Cobra. This is going to be a fun one. All right, so thanks for listening wherever you found us and stay in touch via the website, trampslikeuspod.com, or on the Facebook group page, Tramps Like Us, a Bruce Springsteen podcast. And that's it. That's all I got today, man. So let's get to this. Let's talk with Greg on Springsteen, Stallone in the 1986 film Cobra.
Society is breeding a new kind of criminal. It's also breeding a new kind of cop. Meet Cobra. He does the job nobody wants.
Did you use unnecessary deadly force?
I used everything I had.
Do you know you have an attitude problem?
Yeah, but it's just a little one. You think you would recognize me if you saw him again?
The tall one?
Yeah. The one that wants to kill you.
Do what you have to do to get a lead on this maniac.
And if I find him?
Do what you do best.
Stallone is Cobra, the strong arm of the law.
All right, what's up, Greg Troyan?
Howdy, buddy.
All right, feeling good today. How are you, man?
I'm feeling good. It's a nice, beautiful, sunny day to be cooped up inside, loving this COVID-19 life, buddy. How you doing up north?
Yeah, same thing over here. We're all stuck inside. I'm looking out the window at a beautiful rainy day. I love the rain. I wish I could get out there and play a little bit in the rain, you know. But yeah, it's a weird time, man. Everybody's sticking in. Everybody's watching movies and listening to podcasts and playing records. And so here we are recording a podcast with the great Greg Troyan from the Lipstick Panel podcast and the Lipstick Generation band. What's going on with your music stuff? Does that slow down a bit with this kind of hibernation, self-isolation thing we're doing here?
Yes and no. You know, we were working on recording a single, and we had just a little bit of vocals left for me to do. We're going to do some vamps at the end,
yeah.
And then all this hit. So that's just put on hold for a while. So we had a single that was basically, like, almost ready to go, aside from that. So that might not be out for, like, a year because of this stupidity.
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
But I've got other projects that I'm working on. Currently, the big project, which I can do remotely, is I'm working on an animated musical. So I'm working on a script and working on some songs for it. And the songs I can, you know, demo out at home. And because there's, you know, different parts, you know, different characters, I'm going to have friends sing them remotely, who I think would be good for the characters. And after I get the script and the demos done, I'm going to pitch it around to, you know, Disney and Netflix and see who buys it. Because animation is one of the few industries that has actually not slowed down at all. Like, they're still in production. They're still going.
Yeah. It's all in-house kind of stuff, right? You don't need to... You just need basically a computer, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So working on that, and I was working on it before the virus hit. So now it's just like, okay, well, the single's not coming out for a while, so I guess I'll just keep working on this other thing I was working on anyway.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, best of success with that. And I guess we were just chatting, and you passed over an article to me that kind of spurred on this podcast. We're talking about, you know, Sly Stallone on Cobra and Springsteen, right? Like the character, the Cobra from that great movie in Springsteen. And there was an article that came out that you had passed on to me. It was like Stallone's quote was on the character, right?
Yes. So I first found out about it on Instagram because I follow Marion Cobretti hashtag on Instagram.
All right.
So I saw someone, you know, post a picture of Cobra and then a quote that said, you know, Stallone's idea for Cobra was Springsteen with a badge. And I'm like, that sounds awesome, but I need to find a source because I can't just believe some random dude on Instagram posting a picture.
Yeah.
And so then I, you know, searched a little bit and found an article, and Stallone said Springsteen with a gun. So whichever version of the story you interpret as a Springsteen with a gun or Springsteen with a badge, but the idea was that the character was sort of like a rock and roll, you know, superhero cop, and was primarily inspired by Bruce Springsteen as the template. So, like, what if Bruce Springsteen had a gun and a badge and was kicking ass fighting crime, but was also played by me, Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked previously about, you know, do you think, you mentioned, like, you thought that Stallone was a Springsteen fan.
Yeah.
And I think this is evidence of that. If Cobra is, like, his envision of, like, what if Bruce Springsteen was a cop superhero.
Exactly, yeah. So I checked out that article. The article's like about a year old. It came out May 2019, I think. And, yeah, he's talking about rock and roll meets drama kind of thing, right? And I guess, like, what I'm wondering, though, is, like, is Stallone basing this on, like, Springsteen the artist or, like, characters from a song? Or it's probably an amalgamation of both, right? Like, the, you know, the style of the Springsteen guy and that character. And we know how, like, Springsteen inhabits the characters in his songs, right? So there's kind of some blurred lines between, you know, Springsteen the man and the character in, like, you know, State Trooper or, you know, one of his songs like that, right?
Yeah, the way I sort of interpret it is, like, I think it's sort of like the idea of someone who, you know, is first introduced to Springsteen but hasn't really delved deeper and understands the core of what Springsteen is about. Because I think Cobra as a character is almost nothing like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
just like
not much.
The
yeah.
silent, stoic, you know, dude who eats a pizza with scissors
yeah.
and just, you know, can one arm wield a machine gun.
Chewing on matchsticks, yeah.
Yeah, it's just nothing to do with it. But I think it's the idea of, like, you know, if you see the Born in the USA video, you just see this dude with a leather jacket and cool hair, muscular, looks like he can kick ass, you know, blue collar, wearing tight-fitting jeans.
Yeah.
You're like, man, that dude just looks awesome. So I think it's, like, the idea of, you know, like, the way people get the song Born in the USA wrong, mm-hmm. and then they get this overly patriotic anthem.
Right.
I think Stallone was taking his, like, first impression of Springsteen and then evolving and taking it a different direction.
Right.
And in many ways, this, you know, feels almost more like a Jim Steinman character. Like, I never saw the movie Streets of Fire, but also, you know, named after a great Springsteen song,
mm-hmm.
and was sort of rock and roll meets drama fantasy. And so I sort of, like, sensed, you know, some similarities there, but it's interesting how, like, when someone takes an idea for a character and then morphs and evolves it in a completely different way. Like, Batman was supposed to be Sherlock Holmes and Zorro combined and then just became this totally different thing. And
well, that's how the best art is created, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
You take your influences and then you kind of just, you know, twist it around and put a little uniqueness on it there. So let's talk a little bit about maybe some general Springsteen-isms in Stallone's career, which I think there are, you know, a bunch of parallels. Like, I could see Springsteen writing songs about, like, some of these characters. Like, not just the Cobra character specifically, but, you know, but definitely Rocky and Rambo, you know, Freddy from Copland. Like, these are, like, perfect characters for Springsteen kind of songs, right? Like, I see the fire and the passion of Rocky, and he's got the love of the woman as his foundation, right? And he's dealing with, and then later on in life, he's dealing with loss and stuff like that. Like, these are Springsteen themes. You know, the people themselves, Sly, Stallone was a great writer, writing, you know, a lot of the characters he's known for. He wrote these characters, like Rambo, Rocky, Cobra. He wrote the screenplay for Cobra, right? So both Stallone and Springsteen are coming from humble beginnings, right? They're from the East Coast, right? And they kind of followed their writing to take them to the top of the world kind of thing. So there's, I can see, you know, Stallone following his career arc with Springsteen and kind of feeling a little camaraderie that way, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think there's absolutely zero chance. Like, I'd be willing to bet my entire life savings on the fact that Springsteen has to love the movie Rocky. Like, there's
yeah.
zero chance with that guy's tastes and the way he interprets like the underdog and Americana and like the age he would have been when that came out. There is zero chance that Springsteen doesn't think Rocky is an awesome movie. Like, zero chance.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorite moments was from about, I guess it was the River Tour 2016 that happened in L.A. And Springsteen, or sorry, Stallone showed up to the show, right? So there was a moment where they went backstage and there was that photo opportunity where it's like, you know, Stallone and Springsteen with their arms around each other. And I'm like, oh, amazing. My worlds are colliding. And there was,
was what was played in Copland. That was the record, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there was shots of like, you know, Springsteen in the crowd watching the show and stuff like that, which is so cool. Yeah. So let's just talk about Copland. That's the obvious connection, I guess. But, you know, Springsteen's two songs from the river, Drive All Night and Stolen Car, were featured in that movie. You've seen Copland, I assume. Big Stallone fan. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Copland's great. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'm not as fresh on it as I would like to be.
Right.
But I did recently listen to the Slycast episode on Copland. I mean, you know, it's Stallone at his probably second most Springsteen-esque. I don't think you can get more Springsteen-esque than Rocky, the original. Like, but I would say this is like the Nebraska, Stallone character.
Yeah, a little bit more. I did an episode on The Boss in Hollywood. So check out episode 26 of this podcast. I did a little feature there on Copland, going into Freddie, the character of Freddie, and you know, how he's down on his luck, and he's falling asleep on the couch listening to Drive All Night and Stolen Car and stuff like that, which is kind of neat, right? So.
Oh, no, that had to be, like, one of your great cinematic moments when that came out, because, like, you probably didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming, yeah. And I saw that movie in the theater, yeah. It was so cool. Yeah.
I wish I could have been there. I mean, I would have been that's like 96, right?
Yeah.
So I would have been like 6 years old. So if I could time travel back and just be next to you and just see your eyes light up when Stallone puts on a Springsteen record and the river of all records.
Absolutely.
He could have put on.
Yeah. So there's those kind of comparisons, and like we said, obviously the big parallel between Rocky and a typical Springsteen protagonist, right? He's got that working class mentality. He's like the underdog, you know, misunderstood, trying to find himself, trying to prove himself, you know, a quest for truth and integrity. These principles are like the foundation of a lot of Springsteen songs, right? Like, I think Rocky could be the guy in Something in the Night, right? This guy that's kind of he's feeling alone. He's looking for his self-worth kind of thing, right? It's the last time around. And I got stuff running round my head that I just can't lift up. Well, I found the things I love crushed and dying in the I tried to pick up the pieces and get away without getting hurt. But they stopped us at the state line and burned our cars in a fire. It left us running, burned and blind. Whoa. Chasing something in the night. Whoa! Oh,
Shoot, Raku could even be like the guy in Mean Across the River, like, you know, doing something for Gazzo across the river. He doesn't want to, but he needs the money.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Or I thought even The Ties That Bind. Right, here's a guy that's looking for love and support, and he wants to provide love and support for, you know, Adrian, like his family, his friend Polly, like community, like, you know, you see in the Rocky saga how it evolves, and then by the time we get to Rocky VI and the Creed stuff, he's lost a lot of his family and his friends and his son, so all he has is his community, right? So you see him really trying to put back into that, right? So some of these fundamental qualities that the Rocky Balboa character had, you can hear in some Springsteen songs. And I think, you know, in Springsteen the Man, too, behind the songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's get specifically into Cobra, and let's kind of see if we can analyze Marion Cabretti and his Springsteen influence, right? Like, so obviously, you know, the look, right? Like, the very first shot of Cobra, Marion Cabretti in Cobra, is you see that car pull up, right? Like that badass 50 Mercury coupe, and the door opens, and then the first thing you see is this like biker boot and these jeans, right? And it's like, is that Bruce getting out of the car? And you're like, no, it's Cobra, right?
But yeah, I mean, you know, the tight fitting jeans and boots, obviously, you know, that is, it was Stallone looking at Bruce Springsteen being like, man, that guy looks really cool. I want to dress like that.
Yeah, the Born in the USA look, the jeans and the tight shirts and the jacket, leather jacket kind of thing, right?
Yeah, this is, you know, this is Stallone's rock and roll fantasy. But, you know, he realized that, you know, after singing in Rhinestone, that maybe a movie where he's the rock star wouldn't work out. So, like, he has to make the cop the rock
the
star.
The cop is the rock star. Yeah, he's the cool cop, right? Like,
You
mentioned the loner quality, living alone, like you mentioned, eating pizza, where he cuts that triangle of pizza off with scissors while he's cleaning his gun, right? And he's watching the news.
so fucking masculine. Yeah, This is the most masculine movie of all time. And the thing is, the fact that it's based on a book written by a chick is just like, oh, man, it's so masculine that, like, a chick wrote it, and we're not even threatened masculine-wise by it. That's just how macho this movie is.
And I definitely got the very final scene where he's riding off into the sunset on a motorcycle, you know, with the girl in the back. And, you know, just after killing the bad guy, saving the day. And also he got the revenge punch, right, on the prick police captain or whatever, that Monty guy or whatever.
Yep, which was later repeated in Rocky V.
Rocky V, he gets the revenge punch, yeah. That kind of more, right?
But going back to the rock star thing, you know, Cobra is... You know, what if a cop was a rock star? Because he has the mystique of being part of the zombie squad, this like sort of elite unit that's criticized for going too far. And, you know, rock and roll is often criticized by the media for pushing boundaries and going too far. I mean, they're not sure of just like, you know, blasting dudes away in grocery stores. So the critique of the media isn't as warranted as it might be in Cobra's case. But think of it, like he comes out of the grocery store and he's surrounded by paparazzi, like he's a rock star.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming out with the shades and sunglasses, they're asking him all these questions.
Looking for a soundbite, like, yeah.
Looking for a soundbite, and you know, he is just the epitome of cool, the epitome of rock star. So that, you can see where like the idea of like, you know, the rock star cop came from with scenes like that.
Yeah, totally. The one thing though, he's a bit of a bully though, right? Cobra's a bit of a bully. Like that one scene where he's parking his car, And like the Mexican dude is like just hanging out there, and like Cobra just like bullies his car, just pushes his car, and he almost starts this fight with this guy because he wants his parking spot right next to his apartment building or whatever.
Dude was taking up two spaces.
That's true.
Dude had to come in. No, like Cobra's not just like a bully, but he's like, he just doesn't take shit.
Yeah.
And so if you're the dude, you know, who, you know, takes up two spaces at the grocery store like a dick, Cobra's gonna slash your tires.
I hear you.
So, you know, he's, and I think the idea is just like a larger than life character who is always just, like, that's the trick with Cobra, is that he's never wrong about anything. Everything he does is completely justified. And, you know, in real life it's not like that. People make mistakes, there's humility, sometimes you might overstep your bounds, but everything Cobra does, he is in the right the entire time because he's a superhero.
Yeah, let's just talk about a little bit of the movie, going to some plot beats and some action sequences and stuff like that. The movie came out, look at the time period, I guess. We got to talk about the mid-80s, right? So this movie was, summer 86, this thing came out. And we're on the heels of Born in the USA. And, you know, Stallone's on the heels of Over the Top and some of these big movies. Or was Over the Top after? I think Over the Top came next.
I think Over the Top came next. Because, because on my box of Over the Top, it says Rocky, Rambo, Cobra, and now Hawk.
Now. So this is a Cannon Group movie, you know, the great Cannon Group. I have a documentary on that. I haven't watched it.
Oh, it's so great.
You have that about all the Cannon movies and stuff like that?
Yeah, that documentary is amazing. So it has Cobra on the front cover, but they don't talk about Cobra at all, which is a fucking crime.
Golan and Globus, right? They're the producers? Golan and Globus, I think.
Those guys are absolutely ridiculous madmen, which makes sense as to, like, why their movies are so weird.
Yeah.
Like, the doc goes into great detail about just, like, how just weird and insane and just different those guys, like, had a view of the world. So that's why, like, Cobra and Over the Top were made with their blessing.
Yeah.
And those are just, like, a bunch of, like, crazy dudes. But I do want to say, you know, as we're saying, you know, if this movie is Stallone's response to Born in the USA, then maybe Tango and Cash is his response to Tunnel of Love.
Yeah, look at the outfit.
More sophisticated, dressed up.
Yeah,
you know,
suit,
like, oh, I'm
look,
sure
yeah.
Now.
Absolutely.
Wearing glasses, I'm showing I'm smart and mature.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I never drew that comparison, too. That's amazing. Yeah, so like we said, this movie was written by Sly, and it was kind of, I guess he was offered Beverly Hills Cop originally, right? And he went into that movie with some rewrites and how he wanted to take the character and get away from more to the comedy and move it towards, you know, heavier action. And I guess they couldn't agree on anything, so they split. I guess Sly turned his ideas into Cobra, right? So I was always thinking, like, wouldn't like a sequel, like a Beverly Hills Cop / Cobra sequel starring Axel Foley and Marion Cabretti as, like, buddy cops. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. And the thing is, the way I look at it is, like, oftentimes when you hear about these movie projects that split and you wonder about the what ifs, this is the best case scenario where we just got two amazing movies.
Two good movies, yeah.
Yeah, just like everybody wins. We just got two awesome movies and everybody's happy with the results.
Yeah, so that's my pitch. Beverly Hills Cop 4, Cobra 2. You know, Axel and Marion, buddy cops, right? That would be great. So I do love that scene in the grocery store, Cobra, where, you know, he's stalking the criminal in there who I don't really know what this guy's trying to do. Like, in that opening scene, like, what is this guy? He's part of the New World Clan, right? And he just goes in there with a gun. And is he looking for money? He just, all of a sudden, he just starts, like, unloading on the produce department and starts taking out some shelves and some meat and product. And then he holds hostages until Cobra can show up. So I'm not sure what this guy's motive is here.
You know, I think it's, you know, I'm probably going to get a little bit political here for a second, but I, you know, you sort of have to when analyzing the plots of 80s Stallone movies.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that, you know, Stallone is clearly a little bit, you know, probably a right-leaning moderate, if I had to judge him politically.
Probably, yeah.
So he's a guy who thought that, you know, Ronald Reagan was the shit and really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still has, you know, caring about, you know, blue-collar, working-class people. So, you know, he's a right-leaning moderate. And so in the era where people are talking about, you know, socialist revolutions and new world orders, but also, like, trying to, like, not really give them credibility on screen.
Right.
So these guys were probably, in his mind, some, like, crazy socialist anarchists who wanted to tear down society. And he's, you know, the law, keeping things in check and keeping the crazies out. And so I think he isn't going to give, you know, screen time to their ideologies because he's just, you know, offended by them, doesn't like them. But I kind of sense, like, some vague socialist anarchy from these groups. And they're supposed to be crazy and not make sense because those guys are fucking crazy. And so that's kind of how I interpret it.
They're just criminal psychos, right? Like, it's got that intro. The movie starts with that voiceover of, like, Cobra calling out all the crime stats, right? Like, I don't remember what it is.
287 rapes a day.
Yeah. 24 murder happens every 24 minutes or something like that, right?
And then, you know, they got the you know, the Cobra gun shoots the screen. And then you go to the axe clanking club where dudes just hang out and clank axes. And nowadays you can just do that in public in Nashville and they let you throw beer drink beer while you're throwing hatchets.
In America, there's a burglary every 11 seconds, an armed robbery every 65 seconds, a violent crime every 25 seconds, a murder every 24 minutes, and 250 rapes a day.
The relationship between, you know, Cobra and his cop buddy, is it Sergeant Gonzalez, who's also Poppy from Seinfeld, right?
Yeah, not a tumor.
And cucumbers.
Wait a second. What is it that?
It's cucumbers.
No. You can't put a cucumbers on a pizza.
Well, why not? I like cucumbers.
That's not a pizza. It'll taste terrible.
Yeah, but that's the idea. You make your own pie.
Yes, but we cannot give the people the right to choose any topping they want. Now, on this issue, there can be no debate.
What gives you the right to tell me how I would make my pie?
Because it's a pizza.
It's not a pizza till it comes out of the oven.
It's a pizza the moment you put your fist in the dough.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
And also, he's Gonzalez is a character, I think, in Dirty Harry. So I think this is part of the Dirty Harry universe.
Oh, really? Oh,
canonically.
That's amazing, yeah. And I could be reaching, but, you know, you can always look at it. Maybe the Cobra-Gonzalez relationship is similar to the Springsteen-Van Zandt relationship. Like, what if we...
I think Van Zandt would be really insulted by that comparison.
Maybe.
And Springsteen would be like, yeah, that's about right.
All along you knew it wasn't right.
An amazing soundtrack in this movie, lacking any Springsteen, but I mean, we've got Angel of the City, got Feel the Heat, just, you know, absolute, you know,
those two are great
classics of the 80s.
Feel the Heat, that John Beauvoir guy, is badass. Not very Bruce-like, but it's definitely like a kick-ass 80s soundtrack song. Same with Angel of the City, Robert Tepper, No Easy Way Out kind of guy, right?
Yeah. And yeah, in terms of, like, this is a film that, you know, I'm looking at it. It's mostly just like balls to the wall action with some slasher elements. And so the amount that, you know, I think he took from Springsteen was just like the idea for a cool rock star character.
Yeah, it's style.
That's about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of style, right?
Yeah, I think it's more the style and like what he envisions Bruce Springsteen as in the Born in the USA era, as opposed to what Springsteen actually is. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's sort of interesting when you look at, like, what, you know, perception versus reality is. Like, when you look at Kiss, the perception, it's like, oh, man, these guys are fucking rock and roll superheroes. And, you know, you look at the theatrical and, like, oh, these songs have to be, like, you know, epic and grand, and all of them are just about getting laid.
Yeah.
And there's not any epic grandeur there. It's just like, it's just sleazy cock rock. But like, you look at them, you think there's more substance there, and there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people look at the Rocky series like, oh, they're just dumb sports movies, and you're like, no, those are like hard-hitting dramas that will make you cry. And so,
well,
you know,
yeah,
the perception versus the reality.
We talk about how, you know, Springsteen and Stallone earlier, how they're both writers and how they shape characters, right? And how one can evolve and change their characters, you know, throughout the series. Like, maybe not looking directly at Cobra, but the way Stallone wrote Rocky and Rambo has these sympathetic characters that were definitely flawed, right? Bruce shows empathy in his songwriting the same way, right? About dangerous characters or, you know, good people who have done dark things, have had some bad luck, right? So Stallone and Springsteen kind of have that empathetic quality that they can portray characters with, you know?
And ironically, one of the reasons I love Cobra is that the character doesn't have the empathetic qualities of Rambo and is just this fucking superhero.
Well, yeah, there's not much to work with, right? Like, it's a tight 90-minute film. Like, it's action scenes. There's very little, emotional, character development in this movie. Like you said, it's basically almost like a slasher horror film, kind of cop movie, right, kind of thing.
I think just, like, this is a film that just, like, coast by completely on just like, well, shit, that was awesome, and that's just every single scene.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, there are a few, most of the time I feel like you and I are probably the same way. We tend to prefer like good character work in our films.
Mm-hmm.
Like we enjoy the action stuff, but our favorites tend to be like well written, character dramas where you really resonate with the arc the character is going through. This is one of those films where it's just like fucking balls to the wall awesome, and you don't care about missing out on character growth because it's just so damn cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like how, as much as I will, feel, this powerful emotional resonance when listening to Jungle Land and can, weep at it, sometimes you just want to, crank up Roulette and just fucking rock.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we were talking about the soundtrack there, there's a few songs that I could see that would fit in this movie. Springsteen does have a few songs in his catalog that are kind of hard-edged and, talk about bad things and, character development with, characters emerging from dangerous things. Like, we look at, Trouble River, Roulette, Jackson Cage, Further On Up the Road, Code of Silence, Harry's Place. Like, there's some, Springsteen does have some dark songs that would, work good in these movies. The River Box set he put out had some outtakes, songs like Nightfire, Man That Got Away, and Chain Lightning, and Stray Bullet that are kind of dealing with similar themed characters.
Yeah, and just like some of the grimier, grittier Springsteen songs, I could totally see Cobra, when he's going around interviewing people, going to the shady parts of town, going to Candy's room, asking Candy about, have you seen this man?
Yeah. Awesome, yeah. And I wonder how, if Stallone, or not Stallone, see, I get those two guys mixed up, Stallone and Springsteen.
They're two awesome guys.
Yeah, if Springsteen would score films, how would he score Cobra, right? Like, Sylvester LeVay, I guess, scored this one. He's got a Giorgio Moroder vibe to him, very synth-heavy kind of things, but I wonder how, Springsteen would score Cobra.
I feel like Springsteen's score, if he was to score Cobra, based upon, my knowledge of Springsteen, when I did a film score recently, and it's a matter of, doing your best to give the director what he wants and following the director's vision.
Yeah.
I feel like Springsteen might have been a little bit more like Jerry Goldsmith-esque in his scoring, and I think Cobra would have came out as more heroic. And maybe it might not have worked as well for the slasher elements. It is sort of what my hunch would be,
mm-hmm.
based upon, my knowledge of Springsteen's music and scoring films and how people approach things. But, I am not necessarily a thriller guy, and I just did what the director wanted for the movie, which isn't my normal style of music. So I believe Springsteen, would step up to the challenge and give Sly exactly what he wants for the movie, but I feel like we would have gotten a more heroic score overall.
Yeah. And we talked about Born in the USA earlier, and that's the vibe in this period when this movie came out. Do you think Sly understood the message in that song?
Here's the trick about Sly. I think Sly is a very smart guy. I think he gets ragged on by a lot of people who, act like he's like a dumb meathead when he is very clearly an extremely intelligent man.
Yeah, he's smarter than his characters, definitely.
Oh, yeah, he's smarter than his characters. But, I was, I follow Sly on Instagram, and he was, someone asked him, who his heroes were, and his first answer was Edgar Allan Poe, who is just a, when you think of, Sly, you wouldn't think the first person out of his mouth is, the creepy goth dude from, the late 1800s. But, Edgar Allan Poe was just such a master craft, master wordsmith, great storyteller, and Stallone is very well read. So what I suspect, which I think is what happened with most people, the first time they hear Born in the USA, you know, let's be honest, like, Bruce, like, is kind of unintelligible if you're just listening to it, like, in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just listening to, you hear that very major key happy synth, and you're just like, fuck yeah, I'm proud to be an American.
Right.
And so he was probably just, like, enjoying that. But, you know, Sly is a guy who digs deeper, so after repeated listens, I'm sure he noticed.
Yeah.
And,
he's a writer, right? Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, he's a writer. So he would pay attention to that. And I think he would respect the message, but also he would respect the creative spark of just, like, what he thought something was and then running with it. Because I think that's a thing that a lot of artists do. They look at a piece of art, they interpret it, and then they find their interpretation's wrong, and then they decide to make a piece of art based upon the wrong interpretation because the wrong interpretation was kind of cool.
Right, yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel that he did with Springsteen. And I think, Stallone is a mature enough writer, author, general person where, like, he might not agree with Springsteen on a lot of stuff because Springsteen, I think, leans more left than Sly does. But I think he is able to listen to those messages, meet in the middle, and respect it and grow and learn from it. And I think that's one of the reasons why Sly is such a great artist. And I think Bruce does that same thing. And I think that's why they're both such great artists and such great writers.
Exactly. And you think where they were, too, in the mid-80s, right? They're, like, they're both product of the 80s at this point. Right, like,
but they're really, like, they were 70s underdogs, mm-hmm. who then, you know, burst into superstardom in the 80s around the same time.
That's where I'm getting at. So you're looking at Sly, who's got, now he's dating Bridget Nielsen, where he married Bridget Nielsen, right? So he's top of his game. He's, like, the number one box office draw. You got, you know, Springsteen, who's, you know, just married. He just married a Hollywood girl, right? Julianne Phillips, and now he's, you know, the biggest he's ever been. So, you know, that's going to affect the way, you know, they make art. You see that in the movies and especially in the character Cobra, what he represents, right? Not necessarily, you know, the character in the Born in the USA song, but maybe somebody that would listen to that song, you know?
Right. But, you know, it's so interesting to see, like, what the ripple effect of art is. Because, like, with an album as massive and monumental as Born in the USA, it had to affect people in just a variety of different ways. Like, mm-hmm. the people who understood the message, the people who didn't understand the message, the people who later learned what the message is, and, like, the number of people who were inspired to, like, you know, start bands, you know, based upon that record, or to create movies based upon the record. And then you look at a movie like Cobra, which was in turn, like, super influential to Robert Rodriguez and all the movies that he made.
Yeah.
And so, and then, like, you know, and he's a, like, worshipped by indie filmmakers, and I know this because I worked on an indie film and they couldn't shut up about him. And so, like, those kids were influenced by Robert Rodriguez, who is influenced by Cobra, who is influenced by Springsteen. So there's just, like, this giant ripple effect.
Yeah.
So people don't even realize that, like, they would not even have even considered making the movie they would have made if not for freaking Born in the USA. And, like, they don't understand that ripple effect. It's so fascinating to think about.
Right. I just recently watched Cobra getting ready for this episode, right? And there was that one line that he says to, the Bridget Nielsen character. And he says, like, sometimes she says, like, why are you fighting with all those cops? And he says, sometimes they don't buy what I believe. Right? So I was like, yeah, that's a total Springsteen moment there, right?
Can I ask you something?
What's that?
Why were you fighting with the other police?
Well, sometimes they don't buy what I believe.
One-liners in this film.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I don't shop here.
You know, the scene in the grocery store, too. I drew this comparison, is where, you know, Cobra's on the hunt for the bad guy, and he's almost got
him.
He stops to drink a beer, right? And we've seen this happen with Springsteen live. You know, he'll be in the middle of a song, and he'll just be out in the crowd, and he'll just grab somebody's beer. He's like, I gotta stop and drink a beer, right? So, you know, there's many comparisons between Stallone and Cobra. Or sorry, fuck, Springsteen and Cobra.
Here's a better buddy cop movie I want to see. Bruce Springsteen is a witness to a crime. And so it's up to Cobra to protect Bruce Springsteen. But Bruce can put up more of a fight than the average pop singer. And so it's, you know, Bruce with a machine gun and Cobra with a machine gun fighting off another army. That's the movie I want to see.
Nice, yeah, yeah. Let's do it. Let's make that.
Make it into an audio drama. We'll just have to find someone to play the parts.
Yeah. All right, so that's all I got on Cobra and Springsteen and kind of his, you know, what Sly was saying about, you know, the rock and roll meets drama kind of thing. I see a bit of what he was saying. You know, I don't think there's much similarity between Springsteen and Marion Cobretti, but more of a connection between Springsteen and Balboa, Springsteen and Rambo. You know, like I said, specifically Springsteen and Stallone the man, not the film character, right? But
you know, I think it's still just an interesting discussion of just like, you know, a movie that you and I both loved independently, and we both loved Springsteen, and then not even realizing that connection was there. And I think it led to a good discussion of just like what art can inspire and how someone can take something and morph it into something completely different, yet still incredibly awesome. And this just makes me love Cobra even more. Like, I already loved that movie. Just like, oh, it got even better.
Yeah,
yes.
He was thinking about Springsteen.
That's so cool.
Like, obviously, like we talked about that last scene where, you know, he clashes with the man, you know, the prick captain punches him out and he gets the girl and rides off into the sunset. And then cue the John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown song, right? Like, you got to think Stallone wanted a Springsteen song.
He probably wanted a Springsteen song. He's like, I guess I'll set it for John Cafferty.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, think about this. Like, what are so many Springsteen songs about? A factory? Where does the final fight take place? A
factory. There you go, yeah.
You know, and there's an orange grove because Springsteen also respects the hardworking farmers.
Mm,
there you go. Stallone knew what to do with this movie.
This was a fascinating discussion, man. I appreciate your input and bringing this topic to the show.
always good when I can find an excuse to come on Tramps Like Us.
What do you got going on? You got anything you want to plug at the moment, Greg?
Not in particular. You know what I want to plug? Just general health and safety. Stay in if you can.
That's right.
You know, if you have to go to work, try to stay 6 feet away from people. If you can't, you can't. But, you know, I would say trust the medical experts. Here's my plug. We did a short 12-minute podcast on the coronavirus.
Right, I heard that.
With an ER doctor. Listen to that, because, look, we're not, like, that's like an actual person dealing with this on a daily basis.
Right.
An actual ER doctor who knows what he's talking about. So don't listen to me. Listen to him. Listen to the experts. Don't listen to your crazy friend on Facebook who's all about, whatever the, you know, latest Alex Jones conspiracy is. Like, listen to the doctors, listen to the experts. Like, add to listen to them. That's the plug.
Sounds good. I'll leave a link for that in the show notes. All right. Thank you, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, my friend. Always great to talk to you.
All right. Thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we'll talk with you next time. You better wake up, little Johnny. Better wake up real soon.
That's the show, folks. Thanks for listening. You can find us on our website at trampslikeuspod.com, communicate with us on Facebook at our Tramps Like Us podcast group page, and on Twitter at Tramps Like Us Pod. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes, where you can leave a review and a 5-star rating. Tramps Like Us podcast is a nonprofit audio fanzine created by fans for fans and is available for free. We are not affiliated with Bruce Springsteen or Columbia Sony Records. If you've heard any music you like, please find it and purchase it from brucespringsteen.net, iTunes, Amazon, your local record store, or wherever music is sold. As always, gratitude and respect to Bruce Springsteen and all past and current members of the heart-stopping, pants-dropping, hard-rocking, booty-shaking, earth-quaking, love-making, Viagra-taking, history-making, testifying, death-defying, legendary E Street Band.
What's wrong with you? You look so mad.
I always look this way before breakfast.